But my children are doing very well. They're 10 and 7, they're amazing, and I have to say all respect to my wife, who's doing an incredible, patient job of raising them. I don't know how she does it, because I can't do it. I had to babysit the other night. I lose it very quickly. But it's not like my wife isn't without limits. I mean, she has this thing. All women have this. She has a thing called a tether. Now, I don't know what the tether is. Men aren't allowed to know what a tether is. All we know is that women will find themselves somewhere along the tether at any time of the day. But we're not allowed any information as to where she's located upon it. There's no tethermometer. There's no update. She doesn't update us. No women update us on where they are on the tether. The first we learn of where they are on the tether is when they reach the end of the tether. And this can literally happen at any time out of the blue. This happened the other day. I opened the fridge and it was empty. I was just like, darling, there's nothing in the fridge. She just mimicked me. Is there nothing in the fridge? I was just wondering what was for dinner. Whatever the fuck you want, Michael. I think I know what's happened here. You've reached the end of your tether, haven't you? I didn't even know you were in the danger zone, darling. You should have warned me. This is where you go out for dinner, obviously. This is where you go out for dinner. Going out for dinner, a lot of people here don't have children, and you go out for dinner, and you call it going out for dinner. A lot of people do have children, and they also call it going out for dinner with their children. Very, very different things, even though they're called the same thing. When you're not with your children, it's really a very social thing. It's not really about eating, it's about chatting, isn't it? Chatting. You know, the waiter comes over, are you ready to order? We haven't even looked. Can we have 5 more minutes? Because we're just chatting. We're adults and we're chatting. The waiter comes over in 5 minutes. Are you ready now? We've done it again, guys. 2 more minutes, we're just chatting. When you're with your children, the waiter tries to leave the menu. Whoa, 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 where are you going? We know exactly what we want from you. 4 margaritas, 4 Diet Cokes, and the bill. Bring the bill with the food. You ask the chef if he has Calpol or Nurofen or a combination of the two. And my wife's at the end of her tether. She'll have a large glass of white wine. When did waiters stop having pads? I don't understand this. They come over sometimes, there's quite a few people on the table, and they just stand there. Hi, guys. Hi, guys. So, what can I get you? I'll have 1 pad and 1 pen. That's for you, dickhead. Do your job. I'm here to test your memory. I find myself ordering less so they remember it. Write it down! I took my wife out the other night for date night. This is a great way to get her down to the more desirable place along the tether. Great for tether readjustment, date night. Of course, I ruined it. I took her to this really expensive restaurant that just really wound me up. They did this thing I've never seen it before. They gave me a menu with the a normal menu with the food and the prices, and they gave her a menu with just the food, no prices. So we had a very different experience in this restaurant. She's like, oh, the lobster looks good. I'm like, no, it fucking doesn't. Looks awful. I think the green beans as a side order to share look rather yummy. She said, I wonder what the catch of the day is. It's £45, and you're not having it. Okay. I actually called the waiter over. I'm like, sorry, £45 for the catch of the day. What is it you've caught? Because if it's not a mermaid, you're overcharging. Do you understand? But the best news for my wife's tether position and my whole family, in fact, is that we've moved to the country. It's been my wife's dream to have a place in the country, and it became my dream when she told me about it every day for 15 years. So we've finally done a beautiful place in the country. And I'm readjusting to country life. There are things I didn't know about. I mean, I'm a Londoner. I've lived here my whole life. And things like plumbing. Never knew about plumbing. You don't think about plumbing in London. You just flush the loo, and I don't really care what goes on. I wash my hands and carry on with my life. Well, now I have bought a house, and there's no plumbing to it. Didn't know that when I bought it. There's a tank next to the house, and everything from the loo goes into the tank. It's called the septic tank, and it gets changed once a year. Tell me honestly, is that living the dream, would you say? You know when you buy a house and people are like, oh, the previous owners left all their shit behind? That's exactly the situation I'm in. I've got a shit tank next to my house. Horrible. And people. I thought I was getting away from people by leaving, like, the biggest, most populated city in the world. But apparently not. Because in London, nobody talks to each other. They ignore you. People don't come round unless they're invited or they're delivering something. In the country, they just come round from the village. They just come round to introduce themselves. They knock on the door all the time. Hello, all right? I'm sorry I haven't been round sooner. Well, I don't know you. You shouldn't have come round at all. Goodbye. They always tell me exactly where they live. You know when you're driving up? You know the church? I live in the White House just behind the church. Well, if you know where you live, go there now. Because I live here and I don't know you. I might as well just burn my mobile phone. What's the point? I spent my whole time just wandering into fields. Hello? Can you hear me now? Hello? Sorry. Can you hear me now? Hello? Can you hear me now? I've got one bar. Sheep are like, bar. I'm not talking to you. I'm trying to talk to London. Can you hear me now? But the biggest change living in the country is the darkness. It's how dark it is at night. I'm not mad. I do know that it gets dark at night. But in London, it never really gets dark. It's always a 24-hour city. It's a bit illuminated. But in the country, it's like mental. I mean, I wasn't too expected. When we bought the house, there was a brochure with it. It had a picture of the house in the daytime on the front. It had a picture of the views in the daytime. What there should have been is just a black page that said at the bottom, and at night, you will shit yourself, because I cannot tell you how dark it is. I remember the first day we moved in. It was such a beautiful, idyllic scene. My wife was so happy. We were holding hands. She was like, we did it, darling. Do you like it? I'm so happy, darling. Whatever, whatever. I don't even know where that is. Children were running in the grass, and the sun was setting over the field. And it was like we were being welcomed by the birds, little multicolored birds coming out of the woods. Like they were welcoming us. Lovely sounds. Because in London, we're not allowed birds. We just have pigeons. That's all we get, pigeons. Just fat, depressed, suicidal pigeons. Just walk in front of cars. Kill me now. End my shit life in this hellhole you call home. But in the country, lovely birds welcoming us, children running, sun setting, hand-holding. Then the sun set entirely, and it got so dark, so quickly, I cannot tell you how terrifying it was. My wife and I were just clawing at each other's faces. The children, Mummy, Daddy, where are you? But come to where you hear the sound. And it seemed like all the lovely daytime animals were instantly replaced by the night shift crew. Yeah. Birds making the most sinister sounds I've ever heard in my life. Literally. I'm like, darling, please tell me that's your new ringtone. What was that? In the pitch black darkness. Are you kidding? I actually Googled on my phone what bird sounds like a child crying in the woods. Because it literally sounded like that. Like, that with the... Our whole family were holding hands in a 360. Edging to where we hoped the house was. We couldn't see it in the dark, but we're drifting into the neighbour's field. My wife was like, we should go back to London. Let's just forget this. The dream is over. My children are like, I don't like it. And there seems to be a fox who lives at the house. Nobody told me this. I thought I bought the house. No, fox lives there. We have foxes in London. They're called urban foxes. You just see them for a second, don't you? You're driving back at night. A fox crosses the road. Oh, look, there's a fox. You look back. It's gone. There was a fox, but the fox is gone. I didn't even know they made noises. They don't make noises in London. They do make noises. They make noises like they're throwing up. Like they have no control over their vocal cords. Literally. Like that. Not scared of humans as well. He just stands on the lawn. I'm like, fuck off. He just walks towards me. Back with the... I heard one of the daytime animals get murdered on the way out. To be honest, the worst noise is a cat. I'm not frightened of cats, but it's like a stray, horny cat. Cats on heat make the most horrible, yearning, slutty noise. If only women were like this, how much easier would my teenage years have been? Have you met Deborah? I think Deborah's up for it. I think you're right, Dan. Lead me to her. Great news. Thanks for the intro. So we finally made our way into the house. You know, people in the country, they always say things like, we never lock our doors in the country. We never lock our doors. Are you joking? I was putting furniture in front of all the doors and windows. After half an hour, I just opened the curtains. There was a fox in my face. I couldn't sleep. I thought I've made the biggest mistake moving here. I couldn't sleep. I was up at night. My wife, I kept staring at her. I went to the window. I remember this. After about 2 or 3 days after we moved in, I went to the window. I opened the curtains. And it wasn't pitch black anymore. The moon was shining. The stars were twinkling. And I opened the window. And it was quiet as well. The fox had gone to sleep. The cat had got laid. It was fine. And I can see my breath. Do you know when you can see your breath? It's quite cold. It's quite fun. When you're in the daytime, you ignore it. But when you're on your own, you sort of play with your breath a bit. In Scotland, it's so cold, they can only ever see each other's breath. That's why they panic when they're on holiday. Sorry, Ken, I had to wake you up. I thought you were dead. I didn't see anything coming out of your face. It's just so hot here in Malta. It's very disconcerting. So I'm standing at the window with the breath and the stars and the moon and the total silence. And I started to relax. I was like, yeah, this is what it's all about. It's far more dangerous in London. It's beautiful here. I've got to get used to this. And I just thought I'd get used to the idea of being there. When I heard a noise, I don't know what it was this day. I don't know if it was a bird or a cat. It came from the bush beneath me. And all I can tell you is that animals make so many different noises that just occasionally, by accident, I suppose, statistically, they will speak English. So I'm standing there with the moon and the stars and the breath and the total silence when I just heard this.
Hello?
I don't think I breathed for about 15 minutes. I would have seen it come out of my face. Then it went again.
Hello?
I literally shut my pants. Which was frustrating because I could see the septic tank from the window. Because the problem is, it's my responsibility. That I feel so isolated. I think that's why I'm so worried. Because whenever there's a noise in the house, it's always the same thing at night. My wife always wakes me up. She's like, Michael, wake up, wake up. And I'm like, oh, what? What? What is it? I think there might be somebody downstairs. She's always somebody downstairs. I think I heard a noise coming from the kitchen. Sometimes I hear the noise too. She's like, well, go on, go on. What do you mean, go on? Go and see. Go and see. That's not the way I planned on dealing with this situation. I think we should hide as a family and await rescue. She always says the same thing. But Michael, you're the man of the house. You're right, darling, I am the man of the house. But what concerns me at this very moment is I think there might be another man in the house. And I've decided to make him the man of the house on this occasion.
Welcome to my Netflix special!
Was cut bespokely for my body about a year ago, and it's not a body I have anymore, unfortunately. I've found I have to express myself, gesticulate below this line, because when I raise my arms beyond that, this has started. Jacket boobs, ladies and gentlemen. I did the show in America, they were wild, whooping, cheering, laughing and everything. I went on social media after the show. Everything was in capitals. Michael McIntyre was awesome. He blew the roof off. He was incredible! Because I don't get that here, I'm going to be honest with you. The best I get from British people is he didn't disappoint. My wife and I were the same age. Little things have started changing. It's not exactly old age, but little differences. For example, we can't stay up at night. We pass out. Every single, about 9:30 is a late one for us. We get so tired. You know when you click on the Netflix thing and it goes boom? That's the sound of my wife and I's head hitting the pillow and passing out. We can't get beyond it.